Good morning. You all good? Excellent. That's fantastic. Hey, I'd like to ask Yaku, one of our good friends of mine, to come up, and he's going to give us the Bible reading this morning. So thank you, Yaku.
Good morning. This morning's Bible reading is from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. The believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Hey, I was driving my car this morning to work, and I got to work and I sat in my car, and I sit in my car often because it's nice and warm. And that's where I pray or nap, I mean pray. And I sit in my car, and this morning I was sitting in my car and I'm going, today's a very simple message, really simple. Like, I'm not going to have to pick you up off the floor because you're overwhelmed with how profound it is. It's not going to blow you away. Even to the point where I went, is it a little boring? And then it hit me as I was just praying about it, I realized how significant small things can be. And how significant this message can be if you grab hold of it. Do you know, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world when it's functioning right. Because it's light. Because we have Jesus. And I believe that this is how I see the Sunday morning service. It's like halftime in a football match. It's not the match, but it's halftime in the match. It's when we come together and we look at, you know, how have we gone the past week, and we encourage ourselves, we put our arms around each other, we teach from the front, we say, how can we be doing it better? But it's not the actual game. The game, the match, is out there. This is like the halftime huddle. And I want us to really grow with a heart for that God calls us to reach people for Him. Today, we're going to continue our series where it's with other Baptist churches globally, and we're talking about the five pathways in becoming followers of Jesus. Five different pathways where we're becoming followers of Jesus, and we're taking it from Acts 2, 42, 47. Now, I know you're probably sitting there and you're thinking, well, our church doesn't look like Acts 2, 42, 47, and it doesn't. And I would suggest that probably at the end of the day, our church won't exactly look like that, not because we don't have a heart for it, but we live in a different culture at the moment. At this time, our church functions differently than the New Testament church. But what Acts 2 to 42 to 47 does, it actually still challenges us and makes us ask the questions, because the principles in Acts 2 still applies today. The principles of devotion, they were devoted to one another. The principle of generosity, they sold their homes and everything they had to care for the need. The principle of fellowship, they met every day. And the principle of witness. These things may look different from Acts 2, but this principle is still the same. And it kind of like puts a mirror in front of us, and takes it. We have to take a moment to look at ourselves and going, how are we going with devotion? How are we going with generosity? How are we going with witness? How are we going with hospitality? It may look different, but we still have to ask the question, how are we going with these principles? Last week, Andrew spoke, I think, a fantastic message. And he spoke about the path of witness. How our stories of faith, how our personal stories can be like these open doors to spiritual conversations. When we share our stories with people, our simple, basic stories, it opens the doors to spiritual conversations. He actually asked the question, are you ready to explain the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? Are you ready to explain the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? And Andrew talked about how our stories are really simple. Our stories have three parts to them. It's the first part is simply who you are before you became a Christian. And then the second part is, how did you encounter Jesus? And the third part is, what difference has Jesus made in your life? Really, really simple. And I've come to the conclusion that you can have a 1 to 2 minute story when you and you can talk about those three things. What was life like before you came to faith? Were you lonely? Were you lost? Were you filled with guilt? How did you meet Jesus? Circumstances? Through someone? Through revelation? And then what difference did Jesus make in your life? I want to suggest if we learn to tell those stories to people, it will open up the doors for spiritual conversations. The challenge was then was to go away and prepare our stories and write it down. Write down how you met Christ, how you encountered Christ, and your life after Christ. In fact, my Connect group this week got together on Tuesday night. Got the best group in the church, but anyway. Every group that I have is, I say it because, you know, I love my groups. We got together and we opened up the scriptures and then we simply handed out a piece of paper with three questions on it. What was my life before Christ? What was my encounter? And what difference has Jesus made? And I handed a sheet of paper with them to them and I said, okay, this week you need to sit down and you need to spend some time filling this out. Just a couple sentences, not a whole paragraph. Why? Because sometimes when we tell our story, we go on too long. We like the sound of our own voices. And sometimes we just chat and people just glaze over and it's not as interesting to them as we think it is. But learning to tell a story that goes from 1 to 2 minutes is a snapshot into your world. And you don't never know when you're walking down the street or you're talking to a friend that God comes up and you can share your story. And because you prepared it and planned it, you do it well. And Apostle Paul actually challenges at one point, are you ready to give an account for your faith? Then Andrew got us to come down the front and write down a name of people who we want to pray for. Name the people that we wanted to pray for. Name the people that we want to look to sharing our story. And can I tell you, this is what happened to me. I don't want to be over spiritual, but I sat in my chair and as I saw people come down the front and write their name down there, I felt the Holy Spirit said something to me. I felt like he said this. This pleases me. I think it pleases God when we have a growing heart to reach our friends for Jesus. I think it pleases God when we shift our priority to going, church is the only institution that is actually made and designed for our non-members. That's one of the reasons we exist. So today I want to talk to you about the next path or the next pathway, and it's about this, learning to be a neighbor. Specifically, I want to talk about committing your life to becoming a chaplain to your neighborhood, a chaplain to your street. Now, I have to admit, when I heard that I was talking about this context, I was sitting next to my wife and I said, oh no, this is the thing I'm worst at. And my wife turned to me and she said, that's okay, Cam. You're a work in progress. What grace my wife has. But I want to say this to you today. You might be sitting there and you're going, a chaplain to my street? A chaplain to my neighborhood? I'm not very good at that. Well, welcome to the table. We're a work in progress with this. As I listened to and I read some things on this topic, I realized how simple the steps are. And I have to admit, I got excited. Because I actually mentioned to my wife at one point, I think, she probably can't remember this, but I turned to her and I said, I think we can do this. I said, I actually thought to myself, I'm not very good at it. I'm a work in progress. But as I think about this more, I think I can do it. It's not that hard. So today I want to ask you the question, what would happen if God called you to become a chaplain to your street or to the few houses around you? Not like this official chaplain. No one's going to anoint you. No one's going to appoint you. It's going to be pretty much stealth-like, where you appoint yourself. as a chaplain to your street or a chaplain to the people around you, or you see yourself as a spiritual carer for the people around you? What would happen if you started to believe that God placed you where you live because he needs you to reach those people for Jesus? What would happen if you started seeing your street and God has placed those neighbours around you because God knows that you have the gifting to reach those people for Jesus? That you actually began to see it as your call. Let me say that again. What would happen if you began to see yourself as a call to reach the people in your street? That you saw it as a call to become a chaplain. If you saw it as a call to become the spiritual carer for those around you. Not appointed, stealth-like. It reminds me of Esther 4:14. Let's read that. It says this: if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Esther was being challenged to see her life through a sovereign God's perspective, that she was placed as a queen because God needed her to be in that situation, in that context to use her. What would happen if today you went away and you decided that I am a neighbor in this street for such a time as this? That you didn't just see your Christianity as coming to church and doing halftime huddle and serving in the church, but you saw yourself as a neighborhood chaplain. That you actually began to see yourself as a spiritual carer for those around you. I believe that today many people in the church don't have a sense of call. That they go to church, they love church, but one of the questions they ask themselves often is this: I don't know what God wants me to do. What would happen if you went away today going, I think I'm getting it. I think I'm called to be the chaplain of those who live three doors down from me. I think I have a calling to be their spiritual carer, self-appointed, stealth-like chaplain. I was challenged this week as I read through the Gospels, especially in Luke 15, and my connect group was looking at these chapters this week, and Luke 15 tells us three parables. It tells us the parable of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son. Each of these parables say the same thing, that lost people matter to God, and lost people need to matter to us. He says three parables in a row that says the same thing. When Jesus does that, he's trying to make a point. And his point here is that lost people really, really matter. But what got me this week was particularly Luke 15 and the story about the prodigal son. And we know this, many of us, lots of us know the story of the prodigal son. He wants to have the inheritance. He gets his inheritance from his father. He goes away and spends it on prostitutes and hard liquor and partying hard. And eventually he runs out of money, and eventually he runs out of food to eat. He's got nowhere to live. So what does he do? He decides to go back to his father and say, Father, forgive me. Accept me back as a slave. The father comes running to him and accepts him back as a son. Don't you love that? He comes back wanting to be a slave, and his father goes, no, I accept you as my son. Welcome home. But what got me this week was in verses 28 to 32. Listen to this. It's a response of the older brother. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money at one prostitute, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, my dear son, you always have stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now is found. Notice verse 31 says, his father said, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. The older son, the father was saying, buddy, you have everything. Sometimes I wonder if God would say to us as a church, church, you have everything. You are in Christ. You have the treasures of Christ. You have hope. You have the promises of God. You have inheritance. You have eternity. You already have everything. Now look out. Shift your priorities. Celebrate when people come in. Go out and bring people in. What would happen if today you began to see yourself as a chaplain to your street? Not appointed, not officially appointed, staff-like, under the radar, but what happens if you saw yourself as a spiritual carer for your neighbours? Because you did this. I already have everything. I already am in Christ. I already have the good news. I already have hope. I already have his promises. I already have eternal life. So I'm going to look out. I'm going to look for opportunities to reach out because I already have it. In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says this, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I love that. It says, you are the light of the world. What? Jesus looks at you and says, you're the light of the world because you have Jesus. You are the light of the world. You're like a city that's built on a hilltop. That's you. Do you see yourself like that? Do you see yourself as someone who could be a chaplain to the few houses around you, the spiritual carer for those who are around you? Do you see yourself as the light of the world because you have Jesus? Do you walk out of here seeing yourself like that? Elijah Brown says this, in a world where many feel unseen, unknown, and spiritually disconnected, being a neighborhood chaplain invites you to become the light around you where you live. God desires to use your home as a place of personal connection, profound love and care, and gospel witness. I want to suggest that we need to see ourselves differently. We need to see ourselves as the light. We need to see ourselves as having a call on our lives to reach people around us. And let me tell you now, I've said this before, I'm not an evangelist. I'm really bad at this. My wife is lovely, but she's not an evangelist either. And we're both introverts. That's like the double whammy for being a bad evangelist. Yet I want God to give me a calling to reach people for Jesus. So at the heart of the calling to be a chaplain, what does a chaplain do? This is where I got excited. Now, this doesn't sound exciting, but this is where I started going, I can do this. You can do this. At the heart, this is what a chaplain does. The first thing is this, a chaplain knows your neighbours by name. Oh, that's deep. That's spiritual. But a chaplain knows your neighbours by name. I'm bad at this. In fact, no, I know most of my chaplain's name. But when I put some names on this board, and it was my neighbours, and Nestor, so who did you put up there? I said, I'll put up our neighbours, Phil and Jenny. And she said, that's great, Cam, but it's not Phil and Jenny, it's Jeff and Jenny. I can't even get the names right. I'm learning. We're on this road together, but I reckon we can all learn our neighbours' names. You think being a chaplain's hard? Just learn their names. Just go up to them and say, I've never introduced myself. What's your name? Great to meet you. What else does a chaplain do? A chaplain learns to pray for their neighbours. I can do that. You can do that. You can know their name and you can pray for them. I'm going on this bit of a health kick at the moment where I'm not eating as much food. It sucks. But what I started doing this week is when I get hungry, it reminds me to pray for people. I've been praying for some friends and I'm going to be praying for my neighbors. I'm just going to simply say, Lord, will you touch their lives? Lord, will you open their eyes? Will you bring, will you give us conversations? Will you just touch them? We can know their name and we can pray for them. This isn't rocket science. It's doable. And the third thing is this, you let the Holy Spirit guide you. In other words, that's simply like a biblical way of saying this. You look for ways to serve them. You put their bins out. You mow their lawns. If they're elderly and they need a lift to the shops, you take them. You invite them into your home for dinner. We can do that. You just talk to them and have conversations. And as you're having conversations, you listen to their story and you go, God, is that something I can step in and serve them? And you know what that does? It surprises them. You can know their names. You can pray for them. You can look for opportunities to serve them. This week I failed, not in everything, but my neighbours, we live in a kind of a court thing where the houses are very close, and a couple of the neighbours, they always go away to their holiday home. They're hardly around, but they came back this week. And I drove past their house and I realised what I should have done before I went out was simply knocked on their door and said, how was your holiday? How was your break? Why? Because it's the kind of thing that chaplains do. And that's how I've got to learn to see myself as the spiritual carer of my neighbours, even though they don't realise I'm doing it. And I've added a fourth thing that people do who are chaplains, and this one's tough. Doesn't sound tough, but it is. I make it a rule of thumb. Anytime I pass my neighbours now, I'm going to stop and talk to them. Whoa. I'm going to wind down my window and say g'day. Because, you know, I've discovered something about myself. I'm pretty lazy, but I'm always going somewhere in my head. I'm always thinking about what I've got to do next. And generally speaking, I do this to my neighbours. G'day. And I keep walking. And I've got to learn to stop and have a conversation. You know what chaplains do? They stop and have conversations with their neighbours. They forget the to-do list. They put aside where they have to be for 10 minutes. Yesterday, I stopped and talked to my neighbour and I learned about his wife's mother, chatted about his wife and how she was going. It was about 5 minutes. My friends, we can do this. This isn't spiritual guru stuff. This isn't gifted evangelist stuff. This is simply normal people who know our neighbours' names, who look for ways to pray for them, then look for ways to serve them, and stop and say g'day every time you see them. We can do this. I'm convinced one of the reasons why I got excited about this message this morning is because I realise that there are people in our church who don't get excited about a sense of call on their life. They go, I don't know what to do. But I just wonder, if you went away and started seeing yourself as a chaplain, as a spiritual carer, and you learnt people's names and you prayed for them, started praying, and you look for opportunities to serve them, and then suddenly one day you end up having a conversation for 10 minutes, and you learnt your story. You know, that 2-minute story, and you learnt that, and suddenly you shared your story with a neighbor, I guarantee you on that day you'll be filled with joy. And you'll be feeling like you're serving Jesus. And you'll go, I get it now. I'm loving this. I want to suggest to you today that you are walking towards this in becoming a chaplain to your street when you are praying for salvation. I reckon you're running towards it when you intentionally share a meal with someone. And I reckon you're soaring towards it when you're looking to tell your story. 4 things: know their name, pray for them, listen to the Holy Spirit, and slow down when you walk by. It's not hard. But it does cost something. It costs a little bit of courage and a slowing down. I'm a work in progress. And so are you probably. But do you know what I'd love to do? You know, sometimes what we do is we stand people up who are volunteers in our church at the beginning of the year, and we pray for you. And we bless you and anoint you. Sometimes when you have a new pastor, people come up and they gather around the pastor and they pray for them and appoint them. Sometimes when you have missionaries sent out, you get them up the front and you pray for them. You appoint them to go, you know what I wish we could do? And we're not going to do this, but you know what I like to do? Everyone who wants to be a chaplain, to gather around you and pray for you and appoint you to go and be a chaplain to the homes around you. Because that could be your call. That could be something that grows in your heart. I read a great statement this week, and it said this: are the things you're living for worth God dying for? Are the things you're living for worth God dying for? I reckon if you're praying for your neighbours, looking for chances, opportunities to serve them, inviting them into your home, I reckon you're starting to live for something that God died for. Because lost people matter to God. So how do you see yourself? Do you need to change your thinking a little bit and say, hang on, I can take this on board because I can do this? My prayer for us is that we would have 150 people go out and be chaplains to their street, remembering their names, praying for them, looking for ways to serve them, and sharing your story. Amen? We can do this. It's simple, but it's a little bit hard at the same time. Out in the foyer, we've got some few things that you can pick up. One of them is a little chaplain manual that has 10 steps in becoming a chaplain. If you want to grow to be a chaplain, can we have the music guys up? If you want to grow with your heart to be a chaplain, pick up one of those manuals. It's just got 10 steps on how to become a chaplain to your street. We also have cards out there that you can pick up. They're prayer cards, how you can be praying for your neighbours. And there's also a sheet there called the BLESS strategy. BLESS simply stands for begin with prayer, listen to them, eat with them, serve them, and share the gospel. If you want to pick up one of those BLESS pieces of paper, do that because it gives you a strategy. We can do this. This isn't evangelist, you know, gifting kind of stuff. This is normal people doing normal stuff. Basic, reaching people for Jesus. Why? Because lost people matter to God. Church service is our huddle. It's half time. And then we go and do the stuff. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father God, we want to be a church community that we are passionate about worship and Bible study and teaching and being devoted to those things. But we also want to be a church that has a passion to reach people for you. Father God, we recognize that in 110 years, no one on this planet now will be here. There'll be a new generation. And Father God, we have this unique opportunity right now to be reaching those people for you in our street. So Lord, I ask that you'll birth in us a vision and a heart to be chaplains. Give us a vision and a heart to reach people for you. Lord, plant on our heart that could be our calling. Like that could be our number one thing that we do, because lost people matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just a couple of things before you go. If you've got communion cups, there's a now bucket at the end of the near the doors. Could you please just put them in there? That would be great. Hey, you might have had someone on your mind, particularly a neighbour, that you would like to write your name up on these doors. Please do so. We want to be praying for the people. We're going to be doing this for a long time. We're just going to keep praying for those who don't know Jesus. So come up and write down a name. Also, last week we were going to have a prayer gathering after the church service. Today, that's going to happen today because we didn't do it last week. So if you're around and you'd like to join us at 11:30, we're just going to come down the front here and pray in some of the things that we've talked about this morning, some of the things that are going on around our church. So God bless you. Have a coffee, a tea, hang out together.